1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, and I want to thank my engineer Craig Taylor for bringing in an old Pink Floyd album called Animals. And the only reason I bring it up is because I was at the Pink Floyd Animal Show in Tampa in 1976, 77. I can't remember, and it's not one of those I was too stoned to remember stories. I just honestly don't chronologically remember when that tour was. But I do remember the large pig floating in over Tampa Stadium, the old Tampa Stadium. And I recall people around me saying things like, "It's a pig!" And, "Hey! Billy! Billy!"
"What?"
"But it's a pig!"
"What is?"
"It's up there! Look up there, man! If you just look up there, it's a pig!" You know the old Cheech and Chong bit of "Dave isn't here"? It's real. It happened. "It's a pig!" "Well, I don't know." "Well, just look, man. There's a pig floating, and it's a big pig."
"What is?"
"Up there, up above you. Up above you, up the air."
"Floating pig."
"Yes, if you just look, you would know that I'm not lying."
"No, I'm...
"Just look at the pig."
And then the road crew for that tour, they said that Electric Light Orchestra had the largest touring show, back in those days, had the largest touring show, but just deflating that pig and going from town to town. You have to understand, if you were there, you for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, they had a large inflatable pig, and it was huge. It was a huge pig that they floated over the stadium, and they would have to get the hydrogen or the helium out of it at night, and they'd have to pack and roll it up. I guess you roll it up like a tent or something, put it in the box, and put it on the back of the truck and take it to another town where Pink Floyd would play and their pig would float yet again. The Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. You may not be aware of this, but the Miss America pageant, excuse me, check that, the Miss World Beauty pageant scheduled for November the 30th in Nigeria, and at least half a dozen contestants are not going to participate. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a 31-year-old Nigerian by the name of Amina Lawal. We talked about this story yesterday. She lives in Nigeria. She weans her baby daughter in January. She has a baby girl, and they say... They, being the tribal elders, the Council of Islamic Heavyweights, the tribal of Islamic geniuses, have said that the baby was born out of wedlock, and according to Islamic law, she must be buried up to her neck and then stoned to death. And here I am, worried about my 401k. I think there's other things that we can perhaps concern ourselves with. See, here's a thing that I wanted to mention. Kids get molested by Catholic priests, and Catholics leave the church in droves. A woman gets buried up to her neck, and then they're going to throw rocks at her head, and I don't hear anybody saying, "That's it, I'm done. Islam's messed me up, you know, the whole thing, the whole Islamic Judeo-ethic just doesn't swing for me. I want to study Buddhism." Nobody says, no Muslims say that. And they probably would tell you, "Well, I'm very happy with my religion." Well, how can you be happy with your religion? Listen to this, okay? If I knew that this was going on, if I were a Catholic and I'm not anymore, but if I were a Christian and I'm not anymore, and if I was a good man, which I'm not, I would say, which I couldn't say because I'm not that yet, but I would say, were I, could I, I'm gone. She's going to be, as soon as she weans her baby, which means January sometime after the birth of this child. Now, you're Muslim and you hear about something like this, you got to say, you have to say, "I'm leaving, I'm out, I'm gone." Something along the lines of what so many of us did in the 70s and the 60s and on into the 80s, where we sort of broke away from our Christian upbringing because it was, oh, I don't know, what was the excuse? It was phony, it was hypocritical. That's it, hypocritical. They say that nothing breeds rage like hypocrisy. And you want to talk about a hypocritical faith, and I'm not knocking, see, I have to do this. This is now the footnote, this is the disclaimer. Muslim faith is really cool, and I don't mean any offense. But having said that, what a bunch of asses. See, the Islamic community made very sure that, quote, "not all Muslims are like Muhammad Atta," end quote. Well, what are they like? Because the only thing I know about Muslims is occasionally a woman walking down the street with a tablecloth on her head and a guy wearing one of those Donald Duck hats. And he's got a big long beard with a Donald Duck cap. That's all I know. Now, the argument would be, well, why don't you learn more about it? Why don't you become an educated man? Yeah, okay, all right, I could do that. But then you can make the same argument to people who say the Catholic faith, the Catholic religion is corrupt, Christianity's corrupt, look at what it's done to generations of Americans. Well, why don't you investigate it? Why don't you read about it? Why don't you find out what a good religion it really is? Don't indict the entire religion for the actions of a few. We do it in America all the time. I'm one of the people on the radio who takes great joy in sculpting all kinds of satirical bits, lampooning Christianity, because it's so much fun to do. But as I said a few months ago, and let me just reiterate it here, we're going to start doing the same thing with Islam. We're going to start knocking Islam, just a few little cuties, just a couple of gags, some jokes, some satirical bits, you know, Bin Laden does it with a goat, you know, some jokes about how, well, I'll tell you, Mary, it's very nice cake, but it's not exactly what we're looking for the bazaar, so we're going to bury up to your neck and throw rocks at your head. If you don't, it's, you know, you guys didn't tithe the money this month, so you see what I'm saying? Why are there not, and I said this right after 9/11, I'm going to say it again, why are there not Muslims saying, this stuff's got to stop. It's got to stop. Forget about Saddam Hussein. I don't care about him. I'm talking about this woman getting buried up to her neck and then some guy taking a large boulder and dropping it on her head. Okay, well, that's done. Now how about lunch? All right, great.
What'd she do?
Well, she had a kid out of wedlock. And you're putting me on. You're going to bury her. You know, that's according to the law. All right, she buried? Yeah, this is justice, and this is the way it ought to be. Bury a woman with her arms locked to her side, up to her neck in dirt, and then we'll just drive a Jeep over her head. Okay, we're all done there, and let's move on now. What else? Anybody else got any business? Okay, I guess we can adjourn for the evening. Remember, there's potluck at Bob's tomorrow night. Ahmed is having he's got the pinata. It's going to be great. Thank you. And what happened to the father of the child? Ain't he going to get buried up to his head and to the neck with the dirt and the car and the rock? What? He's not admitting to it, so he's fine. You know, trying to get me to believe that there's anything good about the Islamic religion is getting harder and harder all the time. Now, I understand that it's a religion of peace because President Bush tells me so. No kidding. I mean, I want to believe it. Is it possible? Because we've all, over the last 30 to 40 years, been told the following. All religions are good. It's simply the interpretation of the faith that is skewed that causes the misperception and the malfeasance. Okay. So, in other words, Buddhism is good, and Christianity is good, and the Jain religion is good, and the Hindus are good, and the whirling dervishes are good, and the... And Islam is good. You're telling me, yes, it is. It's very good. Okay, well, I don't see it right now. Forgive me, but I just don't see it. I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm seeing people getting buried up to their necks, guys flying planes into buildings, people with machine guns, guys with machetes, guys with nuclear bombs, cats with radiological bombs, dudes with mustard gas. I'm looking at people, you know, blowing themselves up in pizza parlors. This is fun. I got to get into this one. I got to get into this religion real soon. I don't understand it. Some of these Catholics leave the church because priests are abusing little kids. Don't you think you ought to check out when a guy walks into a pizzeria and blows himself up? Don't be trying to tell me that that's where it's at. If that's where it's at with your religion, I'm just going to say this, and I say this with the greatest of respect. I'd be a liar if I didn't say it any other way. If that's what your religion represents, you suck. And your tablecloth, too. Now, is that fair of me? Is that right of me? Probably not, because I'm sure if I sat down with a scholar of some note of the Islamic faith, I'd find out it's just all that. And the bag of them Maui chips, too. But I don't hear it. I never heard it. For a year, I ain't hearing it. For a solid year, I ain't hearing it. And every time some of these towel heads get together and they start rapping about their religion, like the one they had in London, some conference here about 2 weeks ago, they talk about what a pile of crap America is. The Jews are this and the Jews are that. All they do is send out this Nazi message of anti-Semitism and this hatred toward America. And I'm supposed to sit here and still believe that Islam is a religion of peace and serenity. I'm sure that it is because we have Muslims living in America. We have... many mosques. I don't see a lot of those guys running around blowing themselves up around here. I'm told that the Muslim community in upstate New York was very instrumental in helping nab that Al-Qaeda cell. That's what I'm told.
But I don't hear anybody of note standing up and saying, this stuff blows ape. We got to stop it. We have to do something. I don't know. You know, far be it from me. If I guess I could convert and I could be that guy, but I got other things to do. And by the way, those inspectors are going to get back into Baghdad. We'll talk about that in a minute. You don't know how fast you can take a radiological dump and turn it into a patio furniture store, man, because they're good at that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, let the inspectors back in. Oh, thanks a lot. Are you putting me on? No, come on, let's go. What are we going to do? We're going to go in and we're going to look. They said we could go in. Bull crap. Come on. Quit being so anti-Muslim and anti-Arab and all this. Get in there. Look, I'm telling you, these. Come on, let's go. What's your name?
I'm up there. I'm going to drive you. Look at this. This is a beautiful town, Baghdad. Look at it. And
okay, now that's a nuclear. No, it's an IKEA. What do you say? What do you mean an IKEA? There was a nuclear thing there. Bull crap. I was here 6 months ago. I don't know. You must be my friend. You must be hot. You're overheated. How about a nice cup of tea? A nice Cuban cigar? You know, a smoke and a pancake? I swear to God, when I was here, you guys had nuclear warhead. What do you mean, Bed Bath and Beyond? Get out of here. That can't. That was a nuclear. Oh, you know what? You're so cynical. Oh, no, I'm cynical, huh? There was a Bed Bath and Beyond, and there was a nuclear thing. What do you mean, it's always been a Bed Bath and Beyond. How do you know? Because I bought towels here when we were here last time. In 98, yeah. In fact, that's where everybody goes to get the towels for their heads. Bed Bath and Beyond. And there's a nice Macy's, isn't that right, Ahmed?
We got Macy's, got Home Depot, we got a Denny's over.
A Denny's, my ass! So what is that? Baby Milk Factory, okay. There's nothing, see? Saddam has nothing. He said he had nothing and he wasn't lying. And all you cynics out there, when they get over there and they find all them Bed Bath & Beyonds and they get a little, like a Toys R Us with a Ferris wheel in it and that Snoopy roller coaster, you guys will be, you'll feel bad because you doubted good old Saddam Husseini. Saddam Husseini. Forget it. All right. 1-800-449-8686. We got the Larry Porcell Show coming up, and we also have on the program today, if I'm not mistaken, Dean Wheeler and Steve Bozell. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, Baghdad admitted that they had stockpiled around 4,000 tons of chemical weapons, more than 100,000 empty munitions casings, and we can't find none of that because it's all, you know, like a Denny's. It's been turned into a Shoney's. Because everybody knows that's where all them towel heads like to eat over at Shoney's. What are you talking about? This is Shoney's. Bull crap. I know you guys had 10,000 empty casings. You had the 4,000. It's a Shoney's. Like that kid's menu. Carol, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You know what? I just want to tell you, I agree 100% with you.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? We've been listening to you for 5 years, and I just want you to know you rock.
Thank
My
you.
Husband works at the prison, and every night he drives home, and it's like totally de-stressing just because you're number one American, and we love you.
Well, thanks. And this is not
cool?
What you told my screener, though. And why did you have to lie to my screener?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You told him that you said you thought I was mixed up.
Huh.
What's with you, Pelton? Are you not hearing things right now?
No, really.
Get on the microphone. Can we put Chris on the air? What did you tell him? Yeah.
Well, he put me on hold before I could say anything.
No.
Hello?
He's not on the air. Tell him to stop.
He can't hear. Yeah. Push the button. Don't push the button.
Okay,
push.
I think grab. You called once.
Take your hands off of that.
You called once, and you told me that you think his views were mixed up, and then your phone went out. And then you called back, and I put you up. That didn't happen?
No.
Because it might have been another person.
No, she said her name was Carol in Utah.
No, I live in California.
There you go, pal. Good job.
She just told me she
was... Yeah, it's fine, Chris. All right, so Carol, thank you so much for helping. Yeah,
sorry.
I appreciate that.
Sorry, I didn't disagree with you.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to talk to you. Well,
have a nice day.
Have a nice day. She'll never listen to us again. Look what you did. Yeah, you just ruined it for me. Let's just listen to Animals by Pink Floyd. Let's just put that. Let's do a seventh day around here, right? 1-800-449-8686. You want to know why she don't think I'm mixed up on my views? Because I ain't mixed up on my views. I got it solid, I think. I don't know. What the hell do I know? The last thing I'm going to do is say I got it all going on here. I don't know what I'm saying half of the time. I just know how I feel. And when I see some lady getting buried up to her neck and some guy dropping a freaking filing cabinet on her head, I think that sucks. And I'm going to say something about it, and I realize it's controversial. Yeah, right, I'm going to get fired for that.
I'm going to say right now, and I could get fired, this could be another Opie Anthony stunt. I don't think dropping a filing cabinet on a woman's head when she's buried up to her neck in dirt is right.
What? Okay, FCC fines. By the way, American Airlines, thank God for you. We got our pictures back. They're going to Federal Express them to my home. These are these charcoal pictures that we had made there on Times Square, like a bunch of squares, sitting there, and my wife had one made, and my son and my daughter, and, you know, who cares? And we had these made, and a good old dad, I left them on the plane. I left them on American Airlines flight 117 in from JFK last Saturday, and I called, and guess what? They called today, and they said they got them, and they're going to send it to us. And I was very gratified to hear that. Just wait, I'll get them, and they won't be of me or my family. They'll be of somebody else, some black cat, you know. I'll get these. It'll be like a towel head or something. But honestly, this is an airline. I said it yesterday. I want to say it again. They were hit just as hard as anybody else, but I love flying American. They got the great service. They got the great planes. They got the nice people. They dropped all that vodka in my lap on the way back, and I ain't getting paid. This ain't no payola thing. I would appreciate them buying ad time on my show, but that's beside the point. Watch, I'll get these pictures back, and somebody will have drawn a big nose with fake glasses on them and a big beard. My good friend Craig Taylor did American round trip to Tokyo. He loved the flight. He's not so sure he wanted to go to Tokyo, but he loved the flight. You know, I'm going to get the pictures back, and there'll be like a long penis drawn. You know, it's just all of that nasty. Yeah, just nasty, rotten doodlings. Just joking, American. Thanks so much for helping us out with that. By the way, we called MTV to find out about the Osbournes and when the first show is on. And the reason why I ask is because Anna Nicole Smith has flamed out. These reality shows, the lies in, I don't know if those things are on the air, but they really flamed out. And I say again what I've said for so often. The reason why the Osbournes is a hit is because of one man and one man only, and that's Ozzy Osbourne. Now, if people don't get that, if people don't understand that, I should be running a television network. It isn't about playing to the camera. When you get Anna Nicole Smith playing to the camera and pretending like she's whack, that's not entertaining. Ozzy Osbourne, on the other hand, he can't play to the camera because within 5 seconds, he forgets the camera's there. He's like, Ozzy, there's a camera. Oi, Roy, it's okay, here's a picture of me with Tony Iommi and Geezer. The camera's still there, Ozzy. Oh, all right. You know, don't take a dump now. You know, the door's open. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, he forgets to close the door when he's going to the bathroom. That's why it's entertaining. This guy honestly doesn't remember that the camera is on him. Now, and I don't say that with any disrespect. He's just, he's pure. That's the only reason why that show's a smash. He's the only thing compelling on that screen. His wife, his kids, who cares? His dog. All that interesting cutting they do, all that goofy music at the beginning, if they would just show more of the guy, then you'd have yourself a really great show. As it is, it's only like number one by 85 million households, but I think they can do a little better. And, you know, and when we called MTV, by the way, MTV, very nice people, said we like the Phil Henry show, but when we got connected to the press lady, she was just a real snot. I think they ought to stick a camera in Pat Boone's house. Because I hear there's domestic violence going on. No, seriously, that would be kind of interesting if you had the camera at Pat Boone's house and he was throwing a dryer on top of his wife or anything that's untoward, things that you might not expect. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more here on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, The Larry Porcel Show. Serving all of Greater Kankakee with news talk 24 hours a day, it's Larry Porcel. Line up your phone calls now at 555-5555-1. Now here's Larry Porcel.
Thank you, Bill Elliott, and thanks, everybody. Welcome to the Larry Purcell program, and we are going to, of course, be talking about the issues of the day today. Well, certainly, we want to get the weather in, and here's Jimmy with the weather.
Greater Kankakee will have 61 degrees and partly cloudy. Back to Larry.
All right. So, it's going to be a little chilly out there as the weather changes here in the afternoon. Listen, I want to get something out of the way, and then we're going to put it on the back burner. It was unfortunately reported in the Kankakee Weekly Reader that I am a hermaphrodite. My ex-wife leaked this to a local paper, and it was unnecessary, but we are in the middle of a nasty, ugly, vicious divorce, so I suppose she thought it was funny. Now, my life is devoted to ferreting out the truth and bringing it to you. It was completely unnecessary for her to report something that's very personal and has absolutely nothing to do with the job that I do each and every day here on the Larry Porcel Show. So, if you read in the Kankakee Weekly Reader that I am a hermaphrodite, then I would just simply take that and put that on the sidelines and not talk about it or bring it up. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to bring it up. I want to talk about the issues of the day. Okay? So let's be adults about this and let's try to move on with the broadcast, because there's so much to do. There's so much interesting news out there. Remember, our number is 555-555-555. This is the Larry Porcel Show. Let's go to Eddie. Now, again, the Iraqi sanctions go back to 1991, as we were talking about last hour, and so, of course, we do want to get those inspectors in as soon as we can. Eddie, what's your thought on this?
Well, I tell you, Larry, my wife and I have listened to your broadcast for several years, and you hit the nail on the head. I think the Iraqi sanctions are a slap to the face of all the Western world. He's not going to do anything. Are you able to have sex with women? And
all right. One, see, this is that's exactly, okay, my screener, Biff Barwell. Watch it, okay? All right, more phone calls coming up here on the Larry Porcel Show. If anybody else brings up the fact that I'm a hermaphrodite, you're fired, Biff Barwell, my screener. And I'm saying it right now for the entire listening audience to hear. Do you understand, Biff? All right, let's go now to Gladys. Hi, Gladys. You're on the Larry Porcel program. How are you?
Larry, I'm so glad I got through. I love your program. Now, I was talking to Dick Wiener, who does the show just before you, and post 9/11, so many of the families are hurt by this, and I want to give out a telephone number if I could.
All right.
It's 5555-5, and I don't know, is that 7 digits?
I think that's only 5.
All right, you got 2 more 5s. And I just am so, we need to get the money in. And I wanted to ask you about your genitals. You are a freak.
All right. So, see it happen. You're fired, Biff. Get out of here. You're fired. Get out of here, Biff. Bring in Sandy from the other area. Bring her in from the Dick Wiener Show, will you, please? Thank you. God! All right. My wife leaked in for... I'm a hermaphrodite, okay? Fine. So what? Why is that interesting to anybody? Hi, you're on the air, Chet.
I'll tell you something, Larry. It's amazing the maturity of people, isn't it?
You can't win for losing. What's on your mind?
Well, let me tell you right now. I think Janet Reno is full of it, and I think she ought to come limping out of the closet. Are you putting me on with that big, tall, bull butch bite? And I bet you she doesn't have a penis, and also the other thing that you have.
All right, you're fired too, Sandy. Get out of here. Also, the editor of the Kankakee Weekly Reader. Oh, God, I want to hurt you. Now, we're talking here about Janet Reno, the new television season, post 9/11, the Iraq attack, and gas-guzzling SUVs. You may not bring up the fact that I'm a hermaphrodite. You may not bring that up. To think in this day and age, a guy who has two different sets of genitalia can't do a radio talk show without somebody making a big deal out of it is stunning to me. All right, let's go to Betty. Betty, hi, you're on the air with Larry Porcell.
Larry, you're a breath of fresh air.
Thank you very much.
You bring such a marvelous tone to our Kankakee and the outer Tri-County Lettuce Belt area. I wanted to make note of the gas-guzzling SUVs. Two of them exploded last year, as you know, on the Kankakee Beltway.
I'm well aware of that.
Many lives were lost, so I think we have to, do something about that. Although I don't like your attitude toward it. And
I just think that I believe that we shouldn't outlaw SUVs.
Well, I do.
Well, I don't.
Well, why don't you go screw yourself? I hear you got the equipment for it.
All right, bring in Dora from the front desk, because, Sandy, you're canned. Dora, bring Dora in from the front desk to screen the show, okay? She answers phones all afternoon. Get her out of here. You're listening here to the Larry Porcell Show. Okay, I am. I'm a hermaphrodite. I want to talk a little bit about the new TV season. Here's Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
My mom said that you have a penis and a...
Okay. Let's go over here to John.
Hi, Larry. Hi, this is John Bellingham, the general manager of the station.
Thank God you've called.
Well, I thought you needed the help. Listen, you're fired because I can't have a circus freak working our afternoon show, okay?
I'm fired.
Hermaphrodite, hello? What the hell am I going to market your show? All the advertisers are dropping.
Well, why would they do that, man, until somebody brought it up?
Well, I'm not going to have that's all everybody's thinking about. Take one more call and then you're fired.
Thank you. All right, let's go over here to Billy. Billy, how you doing?
Hi, Larry. Can I ask you a question?
What?
How's it hanging? That's not what I heard!
This is the Larry Porcell Show. I hate all of you. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget that on the 27th of September comes the first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas party. Our first ever listener party from listeners and with listeners all over the country. The weekend kicks off on Friday, and it won't be stopping from there. We'll move on to Saturday night. We'll have a live party on Saturday night. But here's what you'll get if you join us at... Look at this. I've now lost three diamonds out of this. I got to take this ring. I just noticed this ring my wife bought me as an engagement ring. There's three diamonds missing from it. I've lost one just in the last few seconds. Unless Pelton's got something in his pocket. Anyway, join us the 27th to the 29th at the beautiful Luxor in Las Vegas. The first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas. Now, here's what it's all about. On Friday night, we'll start off. You'll get into the hotel. You'll check in. You'll ask for some towels. You'll, you know, rest up. Maybe you'll hit the mini bar. You'll start cranking them back. You'll change into your party clothes, whatever. You'll come on downstairs to the Raw Nightclub, one of the greatest nightclubs in all of Las Vegas. And there you will... First off, start in with a Henry happy hour. All of our listeners will get together, toss a few back, and then a live broadcast of the show. 3 hours of the Phil Henry Show. You've never seen a radio show until you've seen ours. You've never seen radio performed until you've seen ours, because we perform radio. It's not just a guy behind a microphone. It's a guy behind a microphone, but it's a guy doing some really bizarre stuff. That's me. So that'll happen on Friday night. Saturday night, after you go out and you entertain yourself at the Oasis Spa, maybe you get yourself a face peel, or you get yourself a neck rub, or you get yourself a, they draw and quarter you, or whatever you want to do, Then maybe you go to the King Tut Museum, and then you come on down for our Blues and Brews party. You'll hang with me, be entertained by a local live blues band. We'll hang out. We'll do a little bit of that. All the while, you'll be staying with your loved one or your significant other or your gay friend. I don't know, whatever you're doing. At the Luxor, you'll have a night's lodging for two at the Luxor. And after all these parties, you'll get free admission to the Raw Nightclub. So you won't have to stand in line along with everybody else. And everybody attending is going to get a special gift from me. We've got a very cool etched Phil Hendry Show shot glass that has our show logo and the Luxor logo on it. That's very cool. And some other things that we're going to be telling you about. The package is worth over $500, but for you, it's only $348. It's based on double occupancy. Now, to assure your place with me at the Luxor in Las Vegas, call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right now at 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. And it's going to be solid, man. It'll be on the 27th through the 29th. The VIP party will require you to have purchased a package. There's not going to be any tickets at the door. The only way to get on one of these exclusive packages is to call 1-800-288-1000. There's a limited number available. We've only got a few left, so please do call and make your reservation now at 1-800-288-1000 for the first ever Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas party. That's the Luxor reservation line, 1-800-288-1000. Here's a poll, American War poll. We know Bush's position on going in and kicking ass in Iraq, but here's what the rest of America thinks. 80% of us, and this is a good reason why we ought to kick Hussein out. That's the question. What's a good reason to kick Hussein out of there? 80% because he's developing weapons of mass destruction. 77% because he supports terrorism against the U.S. 45% to help Israel. 43% to stable the supply of oil. And 41% because the first Bush administration screwed up. And then 38%, I'm only joking. That's it. That's the latest. And speaking of those inspectors, when they go in, just exactly how do they do that? What do they have, clipboards and hard hats? Well, where do you want to start? Let's start over there. Okay, and they're over there inspecting, and they're moving stuff around. This is the biggest three-card Monty job. This is like a shell game like you wouldn't believe. Go over here, and they just moved it over there. Go over there, and they moved it over here. No wonder Bush feels the way he feels. I feel the same way. Of course, I've been feeling that way for almost a year. Blow him off the face of the earth. What do you think of that? You've got to be some kind of a chump. And everybody's buying into it because, well, that's just the way they are. Are we the only smart country in the world? I think we are. I think we're the only guys that really got it together. Hey, I know. Let the inspectors back in. Great, that's what we want. Don't you understand the guy can hide stuff? No, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Gee, I don't know, because he wants to keep the stuff? That shows bad faith. That shows that you don't trust him. Well, far be it from me. I don't want to be seen as a guy that's not trusting in other human beings. Right. Take him at his word. Oh, okay. Go ahead, send him back in. Guess what? What? We didn't find anything. No kidding. These guys go in, they've got metal detectors, clipboards and measuring tape. They might as well be like, you know, planning a wedding reception in your backyard for all you care. They're measuring things out. They're looking over here. Do you understand? How do they do this stuff? Somebody French, I hope you could explain this to me. Can I get any frogs out there? Tell me this, because I hear your government just thinks this is a great idea. How about a Russian or a German, too, while we're on the subject? Tell me why this is a fantastic idea, and gee whiz, we've averted war. I think that the stock market ought to go up 300 points every time we say, we're going in, we're bringing in the Marines, and we're bringing in all the big guns. They ought to go. Instead, it goes down. Why? What, do you think we're going to lose? You should invest in the stock market every time it looks like America's going to go to war, because the price on everything drops through the floor. That's when you ought to buy, because, what, we're going to lose? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Do you think that the Chinese, you know how hard-ass the Chinese are? You've never met a country more hard-ass. Do you honestly believe that if some schmuck flew a plane and blew up something important and precious to the Chinese people, do you honestly believe that China would settle for anything short of going in and kicking ass? How about Russia? Russia blew a commercial jet out of the air with 300 people on board when they thought it was flying over sensitive airspace.
They blew it out of the air. They blew everybody up, and they're dead. They just, they're all blown up. They're dead. Let me tell you the three stocks you want to invest in when we go to war. Defense stocks, aircraft manufacturing stocks, and beer. Do you honestly think that the Russians would sit still if anybody flew a plane into the Kremlin? That they wouldn't go down and immediately kick serious ass? China would just go in and they'd invade them. They'd just sit there. The Russians do the same thing. That's what they used to do. They used to go in and just park their tanks there. Maybe the French would take it. Of course, the French have had their hands up in the air for everybody for hundreds of years. The Seven Dwarfs go into France and they throw their hands up in the air. The French, yeah, they'd bend over and grab their ankles for anybody. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about real countries. You think the Chinese and Russia are going to stand for that crap? And we're supposed to sit here and play mumbly peg with our thumbs and wait for everybody to figure it out. And then they, oh, look, he's got the inspectors. He wants to have inspectors. Oh, come on. Come on. And then they send in those guys with a little the van. It says UN on the side, and they get out with their briefcases and their and they have little clipboards and you know they've got like maps and stuff. And well, it says Baby Milk Factory here, Charlie. I guess we got the wrong place. Well, I thought it was here. No, it says Baby Milk Factory here, and right over here it says it's Carl's Jr. So can't be here. You sure? Yeah, that's what it says. Okay, thanks a lot, Ahmed. I really well, anytime you guys want to come back, you know. Well, no, we won't bother you anymore. Okay. No, he didn't want to do any of that, man. He only built a nuclear reactor that the Israelis had to take out back in the 70s. They flew those jets in and took it out pronto, baby. That's what I think we ought to do. What's the big deal? All we got to do is fly some jets over there. Every time we spot one, boom, blow it up. Nobody else in the world would sit still for it, but we have to sit still for it. We got to sit there because we're a bunch of big, bad, terrible, capitalist, imperialist swine. Because we're the big bad guys that brought it all on ourselves. Now this is the new thing. What did we do to bring this on? What have we done? Well, we've done a lot. We've done a lot. We've made a lot of mistakes. Does that mean we're not supposed to defend ourselves? What exactly is the point you're trying to make here? Well, you know, we brought a lot of this. Okay, so maybe we did bring a lot on ourselves. Maybe we did make some mistakes. Maybe we did destabilize governments down there. I understand that. I read history. I know all about that. It still doesn't mean you sit on your thumb while somebody blows up 3,000 of your people. You got to go and do something about it, man. You don't sit and suck your thumb and say, well, we deserve it because we do. Why are we so hated? It's obvious that we're hated. Why? There's a lot of reasons. I'll give you one of the main reasons. It's because we've got cool music, great, like racquetball clubs, good-looking women, who, by the way, have no upper hair lip, and their eyebrows are completely separate. We have great music and cool movies, Conan the Barbarian included, all those things they dig, and our toilets flush. That's why they hate us, because they ain't got none of that. Is that too simplistic? I bet you money that that's a big part of it. I'll bet you any amount of money you want, it's a huge part of it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, where are you, sir? Mr. Bozell, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Where are you?
I'm in. My daughter is right now is having a bake sale for the Girl Scouts. We're helping out at.
What happened Sunday night? You were watching The Sopranos?
Sunday was night. We were invited. Actually, no, Sunday night was The Sopranos was on TV. We were invited for dinner on Monday night at the people who live next door to us. The Santangelo family, when we got into the house, they served us wine out of a large bottle as opposed to the normal wine bottles you will normally see. This is a large, what I'm told is a Chianti bottle. Then I saw something that I don't think I'll ever forget. They were stuffing peppers with ground sausage that they had made themselves, and I remember feeling, at that time, my hands started to sweat because I was afraid. I told him I had seen the movie.
You were frightened because you had seen The Sopranos and these people are Italians.
I had told them that I had seen the movie The Sopranos and I'd appreciate it if they would not act as much Italian as they were, because it scares me on account of the Sopranos. And I had also seen their Italian kids, because their kids are Italian too. They were playing Monopoly upstairs with my daughter when I went upstairs to see how my daughter was doing. And when you see Italian kids holding money with their olive oil hands...
All right, when you say olive oil hands, sir, do you have a prejudice against Italians?
No, sir, I do not. But this movie, The Sopranos, that I saw, shows Italians what they call whacking a man, what they call on the vigorish, and what they also call hijacking.
These are things that the mafia involves itself in.
That is correct, but here's a whole difference between the Sopranos movie and the mafia movies that you've seen. These people live on a street where there's other houses, and there's people going to work, and they live on the street. And we have never been told about that. We've been told about that they live in the city, and they go to a coffee shop or what have you. But we had never been told that these Italians live on the street, where I live or where you may live.
Well, Mafia has to live somewhere.
But you don't know. You don't know. And I think what this TV show Sopranos thinks it's doing is it's promoting the Italian way of life. But I'm trying to say to you, and I'm trying to say to your listeners through my attorney as well, Dolores Blasingame, she's in Riverside, California, who's helping with a restraining order, that these people are living right next door to us. And that's what this Soprano movie that I saw made me feel so frightened about.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor.
In Corona, California, yes.
And he is attempting a restraining order on his Italian next-door neighbors because The Sopranos now shows that it's possible there's mafia living next door.
That's right.
Do you think that your neighbors are mafia?
I don't know, but what I'm saying is they can stop scaring us by exhibiting all of their Italian things that they do.
Well, that's like saying a black guy scares you, so stop being black, or an Irishman.
No, it's totally different.
How is it different?
Because on the Soprano movie, they show that they're criminals and they live, all the Italian people are living in suburbs all over America, and that's the whole difference. The black people don't have a criminal organization like the Italians do. And if you watch on the Soprano movie, they show that the Italian criminals gone back a lot of years.
Now, you said you were frightened when you saw their children playing with money. Is that right?
If you see Italian children playing with money...
Is there something sort of... Is there an archetype there?
Well, you just see... Okay, so look at that. And these kids, they beat my daughter at Monopoly like 3 games, which shows the La Cosa Nostra cost people millions of dollars. We've got terrorists everywhere. The mafia whacks people, and they laughed.
The reason why you're getting this restraining order is because your wife laughed at you and your next-door neighbor laughed at you, right?
Yes, they did, sir. They laughed, and my wife laughed at me, too.
After you said, please don't be so Italian, you're scaring me.
That is correct. And I explained to my wife, when she asked to leave, I told her, don't you understand that these people could be mafia? And you look at their children, they look so comfortable handling money. And
well, you're assuming they're a mafia, and you don't know that they're mafia, do you?
No, you do not, and that's for law enforcement. But all I simply said was, please don't exhibit Italianness, because that does frighten me.
Was your wife frightened? Were your kids frightened? You know,
well, I told my daughter that they could be mafia, and then she got scared.
Well, don't you? That's a little unfair to say that to the child. Was your wife frightened?
I think she laughed at me. My wife should be backing me up.
But was she frightened?
My wife doesn't know enough about the world. She's a housewife. She does not really read newspapers or anything.
So when you said, please don't be as Italian as you're being, and you said particularly with them stuffing peppers with ground pork.
Yeah, but understand, they ground it themselves. They made it themselves. This is all part of... I'm trying to say that...
All right, well, we'll get into the restraining order. You want to have a restraining order issued by your attorney, Dolores Blasingame, that would, that would say they are not allowed they're not allowed to do what? They're not allowed to use their name?
We are trying to restrain them from using the name Santangelo. We'd like it to be to use more of an anglicized name. We are also asking that they can't cook Italian. I don't want their kids near my kids, and that their name that they don't use their name until the season's over. This is America. Let's let the courts sort it out. I mean, the Soprano TV show gives us pause to reflect on the Italians that live in our neighborhood, and the fact that I, you know, share a fence with this man, you know, scares me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is a contractor, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has grown frightened of his neighbors who are Italian. The last name is Santangelo.
Yes.
Are you afraid that they're mafia?
I don't know, but what I am saying is the Italian-American has those connections.
But wouldn't you like to ask them?
Well, you sure don't know.
Well, all right, you can't go up to an Italian and say, are you in the mafia? But, I mean, wouldn't you rather assume?
No, sir, I cannot assume. No, sir, I cannot assume. I will not assume that they're not mafia. I can only assume that there is the possibility that they're mafia. And if you have seen the Soprano movie, it shows how they do live in the suburbs. And when you look at their little children who handle money with their little olive oil hands, you talk about...
Well, you're frightened. Your wife isn't frightened, you say, because she's not really hip to the news.
No, my wife doesn't know anything about the news. My wife is very unconnected to the news. She doesn't know what's going on. And I know a lot. Now, this Tony, if you've seen the Soprano movie, shows he kills people, and his house looks very much like my neighbor, Paul Santangelo's house, which is another thing that I was saying, that a lot of the Italians, it is well known they don't have very good taste in architecture. They go, especially mafia, they go for really garish things. They have, like, flamingos on their lawn, and Mr. Santangelo has bad taste. Oh, God, it's bad taste.
All right, so you're assuming that this man could be in the mafia because his home is not decorated properly. Because...
No, Mr. Henry...
No, I know what you mean. I mean, I saw photographs of Paul Castellano's home when the FBI was wiretapping his house. A lot of them are very garish. A lot of them don't have a lot of style, but it doesn't necessarily mean if an Italian-American doesn't know how to decorate properly.
I mean, I'm talking about leopard skin and all of this nonsense, ridiculous-looking things, wall hangings that you would never want to have. And I think, as funny as it sounds...
Well, I got to tell you something. I know why your wife laughed at you. I mean...
Well, sir, I can tell you that you don't know the experience of being afraid that there's mafia.
No, but I mean, to say, hey, honey, I got to get a restraining order because these people are acting too Italian, and then you say that you know somebody's in the mafia because their home isn't decorated properly.
Look, I pointed out to April when we left the Santangelo's that their garage door was closed, and everybody in our neighborhood leaves the garage door open because we've got mini bikes, we have ATVs, children are coming in and out, we have our lawnmowers, all of us do the lawns on the lawnmowers, but their garage door is closed. That's also very significant to me. That's also very significant to me.
All right, well, the restraining order that I got a copy of this from your attorney, which thank you, by the way, for that, asks them not to cook Italian, not use their name, and a number of other things that you've put here in this restraining order so that they don't act as Italian as they are, and therefore they don't frighten the neighbors until you can sort it out. And what would be sorted out?
I think we should get into the bottom of whether they're mafia or not, and I think it's a wake-up call for every neighborhood in America. If you have Italians or Italian-Americans living on the block, you need to look into it. And if they scare you because they're acting Italian, then you have to have a restraining order. Then they won't be Italian, and you can look into it and find out if they are a mafia or not.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell with a bizarre restraining order on his neighbor who is Italian. His family's Italian-American, and their very actions remind him of the television show The Sopranos, which is about a Italian family, Italian-American family, that also happens to be mafia. And his point is if Italians want to live in America, they should act American, and he was frightened by their behavior. And until they can sort out whether they're mafia, he doesn't want them acting Italian. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And I'm with Stephen Bozell, a man with a very unusual restraining order on an Italian neighbor of his who he says scares him and his family because he's Italian. And during the Sopranos season, which is a television show about a mafia family, that scares people. And I think, sir, it's an abuse of the legal system for you to...
No, I've heard that before.
Oh, hold on. It's an abuse of the legal system for you to go out for a restraining order on people living their lives.
I've got a right to use the court system of the United States of America. I'm an American, and I have a right to use the court system. And
well, what if I, as a taxpayer, don't like you using my tax money so you can get restraining orders on some guy so he doesn't cook Italian?
Look, I don't mind the Italian people. My neighbor, Paul Santangelo, has been very friendly over the years. But during the Sopranos season, I'm saying that he and other Italians must be more careful not to scare people because of the Soprano influence.
Be more careful to scare people, and you're willing to have a restraining order.
Yes, sir, I am.
Even if it costs me a taxpayer money.
That's I got a constitutional right. That's your job, to pay tax dollars because of my constitutional right.
I just think it's an abuse of the system, sir, okay?
Well, that's too bad. I have a family, and what if this individual turns out to be Italian-American and also mafia, I don't know.
Is that the fear that he's a mafia guy?
He's Italian-American, and it is very scary when the Soprano season is on to see these people all oily and everything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think a restraining order against an Italian neighbor should be issued so that he doesn't act so Italian during the Soprano season and scare his neighbors? Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm just calling about your last caller. I mean, that's ridiculous. So he's not supposed to act Italian during the Soprano season, but it's okay when the Sopranos aren't on?
I think that if you ask the average American, I think Italian Americans take on a different kind of frightening.
Well, I'll ask you. I am an Italian American, and you know, I mean, I'm 19 years old. I watch the Sopranos. I don't say I'm going to go act like I'm in the mafia because I see the Sopranos. You know, if I watched a show with an African American, you know, pretending to be a gangster, does that mean I'm going to go? You know, I have to go put a restraining order on all black people in my neighborhood?
Yeah, but there's no black La Cosa Nostra.
You need to understand something. There's not just an Italian mafia.
Yes, there is.
There's a Japanese mafia. There's a black mafia.
Well,
there's
I've
an
never
Irish
heard
mafia.
Of that. I've never heard of a black mafia. I've heard about gangs and stuff, but there's only about five guys in those. But the Italian...
Sir, honestly, you make no sense. You sound very uneducated.
Well, sir, if I sound uneducated, are you trying to tell me there's no mafia?
I'm not trying to tell you
he's not saying that. No, he's not saying that.
But what I'm trying to tell you is there's many forms of the mafia.
Okay, here's the problem that I've got is that Italians tend to show off during the Soprano season. They walk around, you know, being big shots, gold chains and everything, trying to be big shots.
Well, you know, most Hispanics and African-Americans walk around 90% of the time with gold chains, and many, many white people also. Does that mean they're trying to be big shots? I don't understand your point.
I'm saying that
they're acting Italian.
Italians are always acting more Italian when the Sopranos is on, and the Sopranos...
Can I ask you a question? What nationality are you?
I come from Knoxville, Tennessee.
No, what nationality
are
you?
What nationality?
I'm an American.
You're
American. You have no background as far as nationality.
My background is German.
You're German. Okay. So now, would you be offended if you saw Hitler on TV? Would I have to go put a restraining order on you because I thought you were a Nazi?
No, because there's no Nazis.
Neo-Nazi does not exist anymore?
Okay, I would ask you this question, sir. Tell me one TV show that's about a weekly drama about Nazis.
What about Hogan's? What about Hogan's?
Name one?
What about Hogan's Heroes?
That wasn't about Nazis. That was about Americans who was messing with Nazis. That made Nazis look bad.
But Nazis made themselves look bad, sir.
Well, there's no TV show on that says, you know, at the Hitler family, and he goes out every day and burns a Jew and comes back and cooks breakfast. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Well,
what you're saying makes no sense to me. I'm sorry, but like seriously, you sound like
I don't know
if you've been drinking tonight or something, or you got spooked by something. But I mean,
I got frightened very deeply by a neighbor of mine who is Italian American after I seen the Sopranos movie on Sunday night.
Well, let me tell you something, sir.
He's
let me say, if your neighbor...
He's making sausage and everything? What am I supposed to do with that?
because he's making sausage, you should be afraid.
No, sir. What I'm saying...
He came into the guy's house and he was stuffing peppers with pork sausage. Is that right?
That's...
Okay, you laugh. Go ahead and laugh. My wife laughed at me. My neighbors laughed at me.
Well, there's a reason why they laughed at you. It's because...
You know, I didn't grow up...
And I got to tell you this other thing. I thought it was kind of offensive for you to say that the Italian kids look really scary when they're handling money.
But you should see Italian children when they're playing Monopoly. It is a
when they're playing Monopoly.
Yes, sir. It's a whole other...
I honestly, I ate spaghetti and meatballs yesterday. I didn't go out and kill anyone.
That's not what I would call Italian, because a lot of people do.
I know,
but
I am Italian.
Do you eat veal? Do you eat veal with marinara sauce or things like that? That's when you get into more of an Italian way of acting. Also,
I do eat that, sir. You can go into any Italian restaurant and that does not make you a mafia.
What about
mafia?
Like Peter T-shirts and everything.
You know where I went on Saturday night, last Saturday night? We were in Little Italy in New York. We were having dinner. We had a wonderful time. All of the restaurants were fantastic.
Yeah, because you're a tourist.
I'm sorry?
Because you're a tourist.
Oh, so I see. So they marked me for a tourist, and they treated me real good.
Tell me if you were just a regular guy, that they wouldn't try to whack you or something like that.
Let me ask you a question. You know, okay, you want to put a restraining order against your neighbors. Now, say they are mafia. Do you think that's a smart idea to put a restraining order against your mafia neighbors?
They won't be able to come near me. They won't be coming.
Yeah, okay.
The mafia will really respect that.
If you watch The Sopranos, you would realize that restraining orders really wouldn't
don't
stop
do anything. Thanks, Joe, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. George, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask a few questions, if I might, of the gentleman who has the suit.
I'm right here, sir.
Okay.
My name's Steve Bozell. Your name is?
My name is George.
Yes, sir.
My question is, first of all, is you mentioned your wife, and you said she's a housewife and unaware of the ways of the world.
She's like a lot of housewives who just sit and they don't read the newspaper or anything.
Yeah, okay. That's an assumption, but we won't go there.
I live with her.
Okay, I understand. What is your level of education? How much education?
Excuse me. You're not going to start talking to me about my education, okay? I own my own business, all right? I mean, what's your level of education? Let's get the cards out on the table.
I have a master's degree, but that's...
I don't know whatever that means.
Let me ask you this.
I'm trying to protect my family.
I am not trying to be offensive to you.
The possibility of a guinea family that lives next door...
I don't like the term guinea family either.
Well, they're...
Yeah, do you understand?
George, hold on. I do have to take a break, but we'll get right back to you, I promise. And Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who wants a restraining order on his Italian neighbors because during the Sopranos season, they are very frightening. Italians are scary. Don't act so Italian. Do you believe that this is an abuse of our legal system or not? A restraining order that's going to cost money. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking to my daughter who's selling cakes here at the bake sale.
Stephen Bozell is with us, and I'm glad that you're spending time with your family. You're talking about other people's families. Italian-Americans not acting so Italian during the Sopranos season.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Phil. We ask Arabs that are over in America not to wear their turbans and not to act so Arab because of the 9/11 terror attacks. Why can't we also ask the Italians not to wear all of their things that they wear because of the mafia attacks? Because 9/11 and the mafia, what's the difference? It's the same thing. It scared me. And
well, what are you going to tell Italians not to wear?
There's a number of things. I mean, the garlic scent that they carry with them, there's dark. A lot of them...
What do you mean garlic scent? My wife is German and Spanish, and my wife eats garlic like it's going out of style.
But does she have the smell?
Do she have the smell?
I'm sorry, does she have the smell?
Some nights, yeah.
Well, it's well known, and you can poo-poo it if you want. You want to poo-poo it, but They wear dark shirts with white ties. They drive black cars. Their kids are very good at soccer. These are the things that we worry about.
So anyway, Mr. Bozell is asking Italians not to act so Italian during the Soprano season because it's scaring him. He's got a restraining order that he wants to issue, which is going to take up time and trouble in the courts against his neighbor, Mr. Paul Santangelo. Don't act so Italian. Here is Ann. Go ahead, Ann. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. I want to tell you that the reason why your wife laughed at you is because she thinks you're an idiot.
She doesn't know anything about how the world runs and all, with all the Italians and everything.
You don't seem to. You're the one that doesn't know how the world works. If you did, you sit on the pub in a person's home, you eat their food, you respect them. If you're nice to people, people are going to be nice to you.
Yes, however.
And you tell this other gentleman. You told this other gentleman that you want to put the cards on the table. Well, I wouldn't put my cards on the table with you because you don't deal with a full deck.
Wait a second. Are you calling me crazy?
No, you're not crazy. You're nuts.
All right. Can I ask you a question? Because I bet you I already know the answer. You're Italian, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm Puerto Rican.
God, that is a lie. It's a filthy lie.
Now, the lady just said she's a Puerto Rican. I mean, what?
I am Puerto Rican, born in Puerto Rico.
And you're not Italian?
No, I am not Italian.
Puerto Rico's not in Italy.
I'm trying to make that clear. You're not?
She's Puerto Rican.
Okay, then let's put our cards on the table, okay?
No, you don't deal with a full deck.
If you say that one more time, go ahead. Say Mama Mia.
If I say that one more time, you're going to what?
I just don't like people repeating the same thing over and over.
Well, you seem to be repeating over and over about the Italians.
And let's put our cards on the table, all right?
Not your cards I don't want on the table.
Why?
Because you don't deal with a full deck.
What's the matter?
Just go ahead and say it. I dare you to say that's a mighty big meatball. Go ahead, I dare you.
That's a what?
Say the words, that's a mighty big meatball.
Well, as far as meatballs, I'm not a meat eater. But if they
just
say to you, why not?
Just say that's a spicy meatball. Go ahead, say it.
Because I don't eat meat.
Mr. Henry, seriously, I think the woman's
lying. I'm a vegetarian.
All right, anyway, what's the point of this conversation that we're having here?
She's lying.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't eat at the same table with you.
Well, you know something? You don't understand that we've got something called a mafia in this country. And
we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems in this country.
And you go by a guy.
People like you that creates it.
No, ma'am, I don't.
Well, you're jamming up the court system with a restraining order against somebody being Italian, whatever that is.
I told you it's the garlic scent and the olive oil smile.
What's an olive oil smile?
That smile that they give you. And I
tell me something. What's a German smile?
In any event, Mr. Henry, the restraining order will keep people from being Italian during the Soprano season, and that's all I hope and pray.
Listen, you should take some olive oil. It's good for you.
You know, a lot of people don't realize the Italian kids are shaking my kids down at Monopoly, and I don't want the kiss of death, which is what they give you when you go to their house.
What's the kiss of death?
You don't know what that is?
No.
That's when a man kisses another man on the lips. And that means he's going to kill him.
Well, if you go over to your buddy, Mr. Santangelo's house, and he kisses you on the lips, it probably means he wants to marry you. He doesn't want to kill you, okay?
Well, all right. But I was just worried.
Thanks a lot, man.
Is that it?
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Stephen Bozell, he's afraid of his neighbor being Italian during the Soprano season, and he wants to put a restraining order on the guy smelling like garlic and stuffing, peppers with pork sausage, yeah. 1-800-449-868, what is the matter now, sir?
They got a horse head in the bedroom and all that.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Henry Show, and on this program, I'm the host, and I also do a variety of different character voices. The voice there of Stephen Bozell, that was me. Huh? Yeah. That was me. And the people that called thought Stephen was a real guy. That's how we do our show here, Monday through Friday. And to answer the question, well, if you tell people what the show's about, will you run out of calls? The answer to that question is simply no, never. Why? Because we know what we're doing on this program. We know the nature of what we do. We are radio aficionados. We are radio experts. The Phil Henry Show crew is drilled morning, noon, and night. And then they get out of bed. And no, they are educated in the ways of radio, theater, comedy excellence, satire, and parody. Unlike most shows, we demand a very high level of performance. And if we do not succeed, let no one come back alive. George Patton on the eve of breaking the encirclement of Bastogne. Now, our number 1-800-449-8686. Now, from yesterday's show, who did we have on yesterday, Craig? Vernon Dozier was talking about how he didn't think it was right that his girlfriend, a woman he's cheating on his wife with, by the way, was a stripper. He thought it was a very low-class, unethical profession, even though this guy is cheating on his wife with her, and he's cheating on his wife with her because his wife cut him off. Why did his wife cut him off? Because he had sex with his wife's sister, who's a heroin addict. Here's Vernon.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to have a highly moral relationship with my girlfriend.
With your girlfriend or with your wife?
My wife won't have sex with me.
Okay.
Because
you had sex with her methadone-addicted sister without protection.
Right, which you know what, you have to accept responsibility. You know what, the bottom line is this. If you want to have a relationship...
Why can't she let bygones be bygones?
Wait, listen. If you want to have a relationship with your girlfriend, then whatever... I mean, you have to accept responsibility, number one, that you had an affair with your sister-in-law. I mean, you have to accept responsibility and say, okay, that's because you felt sorry for her is not an excuse. That's ridiculous. I mean, you had sex with her because, I mean, maybe she was seducing you, but you had sex with her because
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
Wanted to have sex with her. But if you want to have a relationship with your girlfriend, then divorce your wife.
All right, none of you have had the common decency to address the one thing that I brought up.
Which is what?
Which is the fact that if she takes me out to eat, she pays in cash, and that money she rubbed all over everything.
That's not a moral dilemma.
Okay, this is not a moral dilemma. This is a problem that you need to talk to a psychiatrist about.
A psychiatrist?
Yeah, this is absolutely like, yeah. I understand you have some connection with dirt. It's dirty. It's dirty money. It's been in a dirty place. You know, there's something wrong with
that. All right,
you have to recognize that.
Just so I'm clear, do you actually think me giving my sister-in-law heroin had something to do with me having sex with her?
You gave your sister-in-law heroin?
Yes, I did, ma'am. Yes,
I did.
You
gave it to her.
Yeah, okay. He did. Yeah, he fully admitted that.
Yes, I did.
It has nothing to do with the fact... Maybe it has to do with the fact... Maybe it affected her decision whether or not to have sex with you, but it certainly didn't affect your decision to have sex with her.
Well, I feel sorry for you if that's how you feel.
Oh, come on. That's the only logical...
Let me ask you another question that hasn't been approached yet. Do you have a daughter?
Mr. Henry, this woman...
Do you have a daughter, sir?
Do I have a daughter?
Yes.
No. No,
you
I don't.
You don't have a daughter?
No.
Okay. Then I would...
No, yes, wait. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes,
oh,
I do. I'm sorry. I do, yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
Wait a minute. You didn't remember that?
Frankly, I feel assaulted. I feel physically and verbally assaulted.
Okay, sir, I'm not trying to insult you and make you feel like you're less of a person. I'm trying to tell you that you need help.
Wait a minute. Did you say your children walked in on you when you were having sex with their aunt, your sister-in-law?
I made that clear at the very beginning, Mr. Ray. Don't pretend like this is news to you.
I missed the very beginning.
No, wait a second.
I
never heard you say that your four children walked in on you while you were having sex with their heroin-addicted aunt.
I want to make a really interesting point.
That is unfair for you to say that. You know I said that.
No, you did not.
Hello?
Go ahead, Michelle.
I just want to make a very interesting point, and then I'll let you all go. A couple of things. Well, you know, I'm from New York, and I was in New York on 9/11. And I have never, never in my life Have any of my friends, anybody who I know who was involved, who knew someone involved, none of this is like, this is unheard of. Everyone is moving on with their lives in a different way. What your scenario has absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, number one. Number two, and if you want to comment on that afterward, fine. Number two is this.
You know, you remind me of my wife. You know why, ma'am? You don't stop talking.
Well, I'm going to stop talking in 2 minutes, but just listen to what I'm saying. I'm going
to
stop talking in 2 minutes, and then you can go home.
I was in panties and a bra. My children freaked out.
If you have a daughter.
That was none of my fault.
If you have a daughter, okay, and your daughter was married to a man like you.
Ma'am, you didn't even hear
the
whole
hour.
Thing. You didn't even hear the whole hour. I had told Mr. Hendry that I was in bed with my mother-in-law as well as my sister-in-law and that my four children had come in and seen me. Now, that was all made clear.
Okay, but I'm not... Yes, I heard that.
With your mother-in-law.
Listen to what I'm saying. That's not the point that I'm making.
Because I was wearing panties and a bra.
No, sir, listen to me. That's not the point I'm making. The
Good
point
God.
I'm making is this. Is that if my husband did to me what you did to your wife, my father would kill you.
If your father would kill me, even though your husband did it to you.
So if you have a daughter, you think about a man treating your daughter how you treat your wife and her sister and Wanda. You need serious, serious therapy.
Let me ask you a question. If your husband did this to you, why would your father kill me? And you say, I need therapy.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
No, that's not what I said.
You said if your husband
that's
did it to you, your father would kill me.
I said,
wait, you know what she meant. You know what she meant. If she was with you.
She knows exactly what I meant.
No, I do not.
Are you
no.
high,
Every,
sir? I mean, I think what I said was perfectly clear. Are
everybody
you
said,
that
my
you
mother-in-law, my mother-in-law had a
Do you have a heroin problem?
No, ma'am, I do not, and I find that insulting.
I'm 12.
You know, my mother-in-law had a I Love New York t-shirt on while I was making love to her. Good, sweet love.
I think this is a joke. I think it's a joke.
Listen to the guy's out of his freaking mind. He's out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
I'm out of my mind when I'm talking about something that traumatized me so deeply that my four children are in therapy. And I'm
what traumatized you so deeply?
The fact that I've got gonorrhea today because of my wife letting me sleep with both her mother and sister.
How long have you been married?
The guy's out of his freaking
mind. How long have you been married?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's outstanding. You can't beat that. That's great radio right there. You know, I listen to a lot of guys, they say, that was great. And you're going, no, it wasn't. Rarely do we ever say something's great. That was great. You can't beat that. The guy had gonorrhea because he slept with his wife and his mother. He slept with his wife's sister and his mother-in-law and wants his stripper girlfriend to quit her job. And he thinks he's perfectly fine. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Say friends. Speaking of having some fun, come on out to Vegas. You want to hear more of that? We'll do our show live. We'll do it live for you. At the Luxor in Las Vegas, the big party starts September the 27th. And that'll be kicking off on Friday at the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub with a Hendry Happy Hour and a live broadcast. That's right. You'll see the show. Pop down a couple of drinks. The next night, you'll join us for our Blues and Brews party at the Raw Nightclub. Hang out with me, and my crew is going to be there. Everybody. Craig's going to be there. Chris is going to be there. Janice is going to be there. You know, I don't even have pictures of you guys on the website, which I would like to rectify that. I want to put up, maybe the pictures that I'll put up will be of you guys laying in your own vomit at the Raw Nightclub. So I think it'll be great. Check out our website. Following our broadcast from Vegas, you'll see my crew just, you know, laying in the street. So the package is fantastic, too. You're going to get two tickets to the Oasis Spa. You'll get two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You'll have your VIP passes for the live broadcast, the Hendry Happy Hour, and the party at the Raw on Saturday night. You'll also, of course, have lodging for two nights at the Luxor. And everybody attending is going to get a special gift. I don't know the entire gift package. Well, I know what the gift. Should I tell him what the gift is? Oh, okay. I already told him what the gift is. The gift is cool. It's a Phil Hendry Show shot glass. Very nice. It's one of those tall, cool-looking shot glasses. It's a tequila shot glass. It's a shooter. And so all of that, over $500 is what it's worth, but that's not what you pay. No, you do not. You only pay $348. Only $348. In order to assure your place, you must call now, because these packages are going, and they're going to be gone, brother. And if you don't like Vegas,
Well, I can understand. Just stay home. But if you don't like Vegas, I'd definitely have yourself checked out, because you can only have fun in Las Vegas. That's the only thing you can have is fun in Las Vegas. The number is 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. That number again, 1-800-288-1000. And tell them that you want the Phil Hendry package. Otherwise, you're not going to get this great price and all of this fun stuff that comes with us. All right, this is a VIP party. There isn't going to be any tickets at the door. The only way to get in on one of these exclusive packages is to call 1-800-288-1000. There's a limited number of packages, so please make your reservations now. And to answer the question oft asked, our Best of the Year 2002 CD is on its way. We are very hopeful it's going to be a double CD this year. And dig this, we're going to have two CDs for the same price of $20 that we've had every year before. So you're going to get double the fun, double the great material for only $20 this year. All of the money goes to My Friend's Place, the Resource Center for Homeless Kids in Hollywood, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, a double CD coming out. We're very hopeful of this. I know we got the material. I just want to know who's picking up the production cost on this thing. Unfortunately, I had a very rough year, and I don't know if I can carry the expense myself. But in any event, that's nothing for you guys to worry about. This is going to be a beautiful thing, and we will have signings this year. We didn't do any signings for the 2001 because it wasn't the right year. It was a very morbid 9/11, everything. But this year, we're back in full swing. So that's our CD that's coming out soon. Stick around. More to come. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Dean, tell me what you think 9/11 represents for a lot of people.
Well, I think 9/11, Phil, and I'm speaking as a man with a degree, and I have my master's degree in psychology, and I also have my master's in marriage, family, and child counseling, as well as a master's degree in philosophy. So I think I know what I'm talking about, and a lot of people went overboard with the 9/11 tributes. I listened to your radio show, and I thought that perhaps you might have.
That I might have gone overboard?
Yes. Phil, when I hear you talk about how sad you are, I'm wondering what it is that you're covering up. And when you deal with your abuse as a child, 9/11 is going to be something that you'll be able to deal with, and other people will be able to deal with.
But what are you talking about? My abuse as a child, emotional?
No, I mean physical.
But I wasn't abused physically.
Well, I think you were, and I think people who took 9/11 a little too hard have to face the fact that they are covering up some kind of physical abuse. It could be sexual. It could be physical abuse, violent in nature.
I don't believe. What is it about 9/11 and people being over dependent on it that indicates sexual abuse? I do not believe that I was sexually abused as a child. And you say that I went overboard on 9/11?
I think a lot of people did. I think the over-waving of the flags and a lot of it is nonsense. Yes, we're very sad that those people died. But this patriotic fervor, I think, it's a little silly. And we have to get back to who we are. And that is the sexual and other emotional and physical abuse we suffered as children.
Well, what is it about 9/11 and people being over-dependent on it that indicates sexual abuse?
Well, I could go into it with you, Phil, but I have, you know, you're talking to a man who has a master's degree in psychology, and I do have my bachelor's degree in philosophy, so I've got a lot of education that people might not understand.
All right, but give me a thumbnail.
Well, it's thinking of betrayal, the falling of the towers, the falling of innocence, the attack, the betrayal of all a paradigm of sexual abuse, I think. But
how do you know you're too far into 9/11? When you say that people were too much into 9/11, what do you mean by that?
Well, I listened to a tape of your show last Wednesday night. You know, you were crying. You know, the crying for strangers, the draping of the flag over everything, the candlelight vigils, all of this threatening to send you spinning back into that moment when your father first or your mother first sexually.
I was not sexually abused. Do you understand?
I understand that you believe that. Yeah.
And you're saying that everybody who was overboard, as you put it, on 9/11, was somehow sexually or physically abused.
I am saying that, yes, Phil. And I believe that you truly believe that you weren't. But those people who shed tears for 9/11 obviously are crying for their own loss of innocence at the hands of a father or a grandfather or an uncle.
Can't we feel genuinely sorry for our country?
I think you can feel genuinely sorry for the people who died. I think you can feel genuinely sorry that they're gone. But the rest of it is a lot of window dressing. It doesn't mean anything. It really, Phil, it really doesn't mean anything.
But I feel bad for my country, for America.
Yeah, I know, Phil, but it's all really silly. And you have to remember that you're talking to a man who has a master's degree in psychology, and I have my B.A. in philosophy. So I do have a higher level of education than perhaps that you do.
All right, well, I'm getting an earful here from Dean Wheeler. Dean Wheeler is a marriage, family, and child counselor from Marin, California. He's talking to us about people who went overboard with their emotionalism on 9/11 are covering up the fact that they were physically, maybe even sexually abused by, you're saying, any...
Well, it could have been a grandfather or a favorite uncle somebody like that, a cousin, an older brother.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I do not believe that I was...
And let's not forget the priest, and you were a Catholic, were you not?
I was raised Catholic.
It's possible. All I'm saying, Phil, is the people who wanted to do too much of that flag-waving on 9/11, I think, indicate to me that they may have had some kind of abuse in their past.
I was not sexually abused as a child. It didn't happen to me.
Well, your denial doesn't help you get over 9/11. You are heavily into 9/11, and you're a textbook case of what we call abuse. And these people who flew flags, and then people who, watched all the coverage, these people who gave blood, it's all very impressive, but they're just covering up the fact that their grandfather or their uncle shoved their hand down.
Okay, I can we keep the graphic nature of this?
I understand, Phil, but the day you allow yourself to feel the pain of your abuse and not cover it up with all this 9/11 patriotism, you're going to heal.
I do not believe that happened to me.
I understand that you don't believe that.
And I would imagine that most people listening who felt very emotional on 9/11 do not believe that happened to them either.
And I understand that. But again, I have a master's degree in psychology.
You've told me your credentials.
But Phil, listen to me. I have a master's degree in psychology. I am a marriage, family, and child counselor. I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy.
Well, you've told me that your credentials, okay?
I want you to listen, though. Because for you to argue with me, you're arguing with an enormous amount of education.
1-800-449-8686. Tell me, how did this happen for you, and where do you get these ideas about 9/11, over emotionalism on 9/11, creating some kind of cover up for abuse?
Well, Phil, I developed what I call renatal therapy, and renatal means we are rebirthing or getting reborn. And you literally have to go a therapeutic rebirth. And many years ago, I was in Taos, New Mexico, and I met a shaman priest of the Hopi tribe there. And it was there that I partook of a psilocybin tea, which was a hallucinogenic. And it was there that I learned how people who were deeply affected about 9/11 have been deeply abused. But renataling is so important. And renataling is something that I want all of your listeners to understand. Renataling means being pushed, if you will, through the uterine canal.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Teresa, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, ma'am.
Yes, I just want to make a comment.
Sorry, we're on with Dean Wheeler.
Sir?
We're on with Dean Wheeler. I'm sorry.
Yes, to Mr. Wheeler.
All right. And, your name is what, dear?
Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. This is Dean.
Yeah, I'm a nurse from Benton, Arkansas.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I just want to make a comment on what you were saying about overdoing it with the 9/11 thing.
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
I don't see how you could overdo it. I mean, it was a horrible thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's children. You say you counsel children and families.
Oh, yes,
and,
yes.
And I really see one thing lacking in your counseling, and that's compassion. I mean, how can you sit there and say that?
Well, I think in our renataling dialogues, Teresa, we feel that too much compassion softens the emotional response, and we need to be a little bit harder.
Well,
I think that we should feel bad for what happened on 9/11, but not to the extent that it covers up our sexual abuse at the hands of our grandfather.
Well, but that's something that you cannot know. You know,
no.
You can't. There's no way you
know.
Can know that. And
well,
it seems like you're putting a little too much confidence in your degree
well,
and not enough confidence in common sense
and
compassion.
Teresa, you're a nurse, and so you don't recognize abuse like I do.
How would you not see? You're already talking like you know everything about everybody, just like talking to the host like that. You have no way of knowing his life, and to say that on the radio, that's horrible.
Teresa, did you cry?
I did cry. Now, I guess I'm sexually abused, too, right?
No, but if you did, then you can... It's possible that your father used the bottle-type object on you.
My God! Oh, my God!
You know what?
Listen to me.
Sir,
very careful, Teresa. Don't go off. You're going off, Teresa. I want you to stay with me.
Yeah, I am, because
stay
I can't believe it.
Stay with me.
Okay, go right ahead. I'm listening.
Now, remember, I have a degree in psychology.
Right, you've mentioned that more than once.
Now, I want to ask you a question, all right? Was there any hot water enemas used on you? Or
come on, Doctor.
Is this a prank call? Honest to God, this sounds so much.
Doctor, this is so off the wall, it's like a prank call.
I'm saying to you, Teresa, this very carefully. If you felt emotional on 9/11 and you over-emoted, you're covering up some kind of abuse.
Well, I think that's preposterous.
Maybe it's a release that people use from stress and other things in this world today, that there's so many horrible things. And maybe that was just one point in this war, in this time, this hard times that it is, that maybe people actually came together and felt some compassion for the fellow man instead of, we're all out for ourselves.
Well, I understand that. Could I ask you, Teresa?
Could God have anything to do with this, maybe? You know?
Well, Teresa, I don't believe in superstitious rituals.
Maybe you were sexually abused by Buddhists or something,
Teresa,
you know?
Let's not get personal.
Oh, you got personal with everybody.
You've
accused everybody's family of being sexual abusers because they actually have enough heart and compassion to feel for these people and their poor children. And
there are thousands of people who felt anger for Bin Laden when they were really angry at their father. That's all I'm saying. Do you remember any rectal...
Well, my father doesn't have a plane.
Right.
You know.
Can I ask you, Teresa, do you remember any rectal burning?
Good God.
You know, I...
Good God.
No, I'm
you know what?
The
I think you used...
Okay.
If this is a real call, I think you're airing more, Brad. You came on the air more to brag about your degree than you did anything, which obviously didn't pay off.
I have to tell you about my degree because I have to tell you I have a level of education that allows me to ask these questions. I took my MA from UCSB. You can check this out if you want. I have my MFCC from the University of Redlands, my BA in philosophy from San Diego State. And, Teresa, I'm just trying to help.
Well, all right, look, let me jump in here. So what if we feel a lot of pain over 9/11? So what?
You're always going to be blocking that abuse that your uncle put you through, is all I'm saying.
I don't even know my uncle. Do you know that I don't know my uncle? My uncles are so old, I never knew them.
Did you not? You said you visited Canada when you were a boy.
I visited Canada when I was a boy, and I saw my grandfather, my grandmother, and my cousins.
Did you have an older cousin?
My cousin Paul, yeah.
There you go.
Well, my cousin Paul was a great guy. He played rugby. He was a great guy. I looked up to him. He was my older brother. Get out of here.
Have you been sexually abused, sir?
Well, I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd say that. And let me answer that question, okay? I am getting closer to understanding through my renataling process. I'm getting closer to understanding who did it. I feel pretty sure that I was. But I'm going to find out who.
Well, I feel like
I was 22 or 23. Yes. Someone fondled me. I don't know who.
Well, you were how old?
I was 22.
And you don't remember?
College. No, I do not. I blacked out. I blacked it out.
That's not even 22. I mean,
Again, I have to tell both of you, I have a master's degree in psychology and a BA in philosophy, and I attended the University of California. So,
all right, Teresa, thank you, and I appreciate
you
giving us your expertise as a nurse. Our number is 1-800-449-8686 as we explore with Dean Wheeler, who is a marriage, family, and child counselor, what he considers to be over-emoting about 9/11. Feeling too strongly about 9/11 simply means that we may be covering up some abuse in our childhood. And he's even gone so far as to say that maybe I was abused sexually as a child. I can tell you this right now, and I say this, my family, that never happened to me. I am certain that never happened to me. And I certainly have more love and respect for my family than that. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that us getting emotional about 9/11, are we blocking or hiding some physical abuse that we experienced as children? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I will let you get your credentials out, but you already have.
No, but Phil, I haven't mentioned where my credentials are from. My master's degree is from the University of California at Santa Barbara. I got my MFCC from the University of Redlands. My bachelor's in psychology is from San Diego State. I have a master's in fine arts. I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and I have developed what is called the renataling therapy, which is being used in many areas across the country. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're saying everybody who ever felt really bad about 9/11 must be covering up some sexual or physical abuse.
Phil, your pilgrimage to New York last week was a classic example.
No, that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, I'm saying that your pilgrimage to New York last week was a classic example of displaced anger toward your cousin for forcing you to pleasure him.
Well, you don't know that, and I'm not going to have you keep saying that because it never happened. It never, ever happened.
I understand your anger, Phil.
You will not say that about a member of my family.
I understand your anger.
Let me go to a phone call. Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good, ma'am.
Well, I have got a couple comments for this so-called psychologist. Number one, with people like that in practice, we don't need them.
Well,
they are the type that put the dab on ideas into these children's head when there's been no such sexual abuse.
I have a degree.
I don't give a squat what kind of degree you got. You probably don't have any children, and you don't know what in the blazes you're talking about.
Well, my career always came first. My wife and I studied in Tahiti. We studied a lot of the primitive cultures.
Studying in the good U.S. of A. and try to dabble and relate to some normal people instead of all these other cultures?
Sharon, I can tell that your hostility is rooted in something, and what is that?
Hostility is rooted in stupid, ignorant people like you that hide behind their degree to torment people that actually are looking for help, and you plant idiotic ideas in their dab-burn brain.
Well, I said that. Were you sad on 9/11?
Yes.
All right, were you
abused? No, I was sexually abused.
Wait a second.
Child, right?
You're not going to say that everybody who felt sad.
No, not everyone who felt sad. But Sharon has now displaced her sadness from 9/11 into an angry paradigm, and it becomes more evident to me that somewhere along the line, an uncle, a grandfather, in her part of the world, it was probably a brother.
Okay, now you're beginning to get insulting as to subcultural texture and everything else. The lady called up and made a very good point that it's guys like you that are sticking bad ideas into people's heads.
And
gee, I don't have a brother. See how intelligent he is? Automatically, any child that has a sibling, whether it male or female, if they show any compassion for 9/11 or anybody,
I didn't say any compassion.
Sexually abused.
I said if you were overdoing it.
Yeah, waving a flag.
It was a major catastrophe that happened to the United States. How in the name of heaven can you overdo that?
when I was in Japan studying feng shui at Kawasaki University, I found many levels of the shui. And what we mean by shui, Sharon, is a color modality. All right? Are you with me? Are you staying with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Sharon. You're very angry. I can tell.
People like you just disgust me. I'm sorry. I don't have a college degree because my dad burns school.
Oh, you're anti-intellectual.
I mean, for Pete's sake, give us a break. We do have common sense out here.
You're anti-intellectual. I can see where your hostility is. Are
you
angry?
No, honey, I'm not anti-intellectual. I went to school after I raised my kids and carried a 4.0 and a 3.5 in criminal law. Don't give
me... Now, Adler tells us that when the mother finally breaks the symbiosis, we become angry.
Good. Why don't you speak English so people know what the hell you're talking about?
I'm saying that when your mother disassociated herself from you, when you were no longer being breastfed, for instance, and you began to separate, did you feel, and I will ask the question and you'll get angry, but I have to ask the question, was there any rectal burning?
Here you go again.
What the heck does rectal burning have to do with being breastfed? Number one, I wasn't breastfed
You were repeatedly for. Do you ever remember having to swallow anything like a cucumber?
Would you stop asking people
this
these questions?
That is so gross. See what I'm telling you,
Phil? I know
what
you're saying. All
he
right,
Sharon. He doesn't need to be in practice.
Absolutely.
He is totally off the damn wall, and I feel sorry for his patients. I really do.
Thank you for calling. I think 1-800-449-8686. He's a therapist named Dean Wheeler who thinks if you overdid it with your grief on 9/11, maybe you were...
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler.
Dean Wheeler, who is a marriage, family, and child counselor from Marin, California, is on the line with a saying that if you overdid it, feeling grief on 9/11, it's probable that you were physically abused.
Well, and Phil, again, you've taken it away from the sexual aspect.
Yeah, I just don't like talking like that.
Phil, I was in Taos, New Mexico, with a shaman priest in the Hopi of the Hopi Nation, and I did partake in a peyote ceremony, which taught me the renatling technique and how deeply abused people who celebrated 9/11 too much were.
Nobody celebrated 9/11. People grieved on 9/11.
All right. Okay. And I understand your anger.
Yeah, you understand my anger. I don't think. Lorna, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, Lorna. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Phil. I just wanted to let Dr. Dean, right?
My name is Wheeler.
Wheeler. I'm sorry, Dr. Wheeler. I am so surprised about all the masters and all the...
I have a master's things. From
exactly.
UCSB.
I heard you. It's fine. The one thing that you have taught me, though, is that the fact that you do have all those papers to tell that you did finish an education doesn't say much. Doesn't say the base of the person, and doesn't
educated.
Say the knowledge of the person.
I'm very
because
educated.
It shows you how weak you are. Because obviously, as you have visited all this culture, instead of not forgetting your heritage, not forgetting your roots, not forgetting your American soil, you have just adapted to all these cultures, and you have just taken them in like it's true,
Lorna,
and real.
I
think that you really need to be reborn again, but in the United States. You're in the wrong place.
May I say something, Mr. Hendry?
Go ahead.
Lorna, I went to Taos, New Mexico not too long ago.
That's your problem.
And partook of a psilocybin ceremony where I learned how to rebirth myself. That is renatling.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
You know, it is quite all right if you want to learn all those things and do it for your own personal, knowledge, for your own personal whatever. But you are a person that supposedly... counsel people? I don't think so. I think that you should not be counseling people.
I have a master's degree from UCSB and a bachelor's in
philosophy. That doesn't say anything. That does not say anything.
Also an MCC.
Nothing.
Can I ask you the question?
Sure.
It's the question.
What's the question?
Do you recall any rectal burning?
Any what?
Rectal burning.
No, you know, let me ask you a question.
Here
were
we
you
go.
Abused as a
here
child?
Here we go.
No, I'm asking.
Were you abused as a child?
I'm asking if you were.
No, I was not, and I was not physically, mentally, passively, in any type,
Lorna,
sexually, or anyway.
Did you hear Mr. Henry last week? He was almost in tears over 9/11, and he still won't talk about.
That's a reasonable way. That's reasonable.
With
that's absolutely reasonable.
A broom handle.
That's a compassionate man. He's a compassionate man.
With a broom handle. Why do you say these things? It never happened to me.
All right, so I understand your anger, and I understand Lorna's denial.
No, I think...
Renatling is the deep cleansing of the male birth canal.
You know, I think that's your problem.
Something.
That's your problem. You were too long with the wrong people.
No, the renatling process requires becoming gay, and this is why most men reject it.
I beg your pardon?
The renatling? Lorna, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to say, yes, Papa, he made love to me like a donkey.
No,
she's not going to do that.
You don't affect me at all. You don't affect me at all, because the only sick person here is you.
Are you religious? Are you religious?
Absolutely, and the only sick person here is you. It's you.
Well, all right.
You are in the wrong place. Son,
Henry,
let me tell you, you got to be reborn again as an American.
Are you available
and go to an American school, go through the American culture.
Have mercy,
don't forget your motherland.
You're right.
Don't forget your country.
Right. Damn right. Remember America. Remember New York. Remember 9/11.
Oh, but Phil, being gay can provide some.
I don't want to go gay. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing at all. Many people who don't like rich people per se simply don't know what wealth is. Having a lot of money can be a good thing. You can do good things with money. You can certainly live well, and there's nothing wrong with that. One of the reasons why, for instance, the communist revolution never took place and never got hold in America is that the working class in America wants to be rich, too. We all want to get up the ladder. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry with another lecture on how life is. Brought to you by The Phil Hendry Show, where I did all the voices in that last bit, the voice of Dean Wheeler and myself. Everybody that called in thought he was a real guy, a real schmuck with an MA or a BA in philosophy or whatever he's got. Now, moving on to this next piece of information. It's not bad to have money. What is bad is taking lots and lots and lots of money that isn't yours and living an ostentatious lifestyle. That, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than someone who has stolen. Now, what do you call stealing? Some people say that a guy who operates a business that doesn't put out a decent product is stealing. Well, it's not. It may be that he's putting out a substandard product, but somebody came along and willingly gave their money. Some people consider it stealing when a man fudges on his taxes, perhaps, but if it's done all within the legal framework of the tax law, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you out and out just take money from a company, like this guy Kozlowski and this Tyco, have you been hearing about this? I know a lot of this stuff is a little confusing. I'm not going to get into any real convoluted tax law here. I'm not going to get into any specifics of the prosecution or the defense in this case. I'm just going to tell you the stuff that this guy is alleged to have stolen. Listen to this. One of the things that he did, this Kozlowski guy, who could go to jail as early as Thursday, that's tomorrow, he threw a birthday party for his wife, Karen. $2 million birthday party. With money charged to Tyco, this company. Money that could have been used, for instance, for employee bonuses. Money that could have been used for improving the product, improving the plants. Money that can build factories. $2 million can go a long way and help a lot of people in building a business. But when you take that money and you use it for a 40th birthday party for your wife... Now, here's the email that was sent by an underling for Mr. Kozlowski outlining the party that they're going to have for his wife, Karen, on Sardinia. And for those of you who don't know where that is an island off of Italy. Beautiful, gorgeous place. Guests arrive at the club starting at 7:15. The van pulls up to the main entrance. Two gladiators are standing next to the door. One opens the door. The other helps the guests. We have a lion or a horse with a chariot for the shock value. The guests proceed through two rooms. We have gladiators standing guard every couple of feet, and they're lining the way. The guests come into the pool area. The band is playing. They are dressed in elegant chic. Big ice sculpture of David, lots of shellfish and caviar at his feet. Now get a load of this. A waiter is pouring Stolichnaya vodka into the back of the ice sculpture so it comes out his penis into a crystal glass. So suck on that. Waiters are passing cocktails and chalices. They're dressed in linen togas with fig wreaths on their head. A full bar with fabulous linens. The pool has floating candles and flowers. See, they do watch Martha Stewart. We have rented fig trees with tiny lights everywhere to fill some space. 8:30, the waiters instruct that dinner is served. We all walk up to the loggia, which you're Italian, Janice. What is that? The loggia. It's where you drop a log? I don't know. That's the pool room. Oh, it's the pool room, okay. The tables are all family style, with the main table in front. The tables have incredible linens with chalices as wine glasses. The food is brought out course by course, family style. Lots of wine, and it's starting to get dark. Everyone's nicely buzzed. LDK gets up and has a toast for K. Who's LDK? Is that this guy? This Kozlowski clown. Everyone is jumping from table to table. E. Cliff has continued to play light music through dinner. They kick it up a bit. We start the show of pictures on the screen. Great background music in sync with the slides. At the end, Elvis is on the screen, wishing Kay a happy birthday and apologizing that he could not make it. It starts to fade, and Elvis is on stage and starts singing Happy Birthday with the Swing Dogs. A huge cake is brought out with the waiters in togas singing and holding the cake up for all to see. The breasts explode. Elvis kicks in full throttle. Waiters are passing wine after dinner drinks, and there is dancing. 11:30, light show starts. HBK is displayed on mountain. They're projecting HBK as who?
I think that's him or his wife.
That's him or his wife? Fireworks coming from both ends of the golf course in sync with music. Swing Dog starts up, and the night is young. And then they have the invitation that they're going to send out. Our summer party is moving from Nantucket to Sardinia. Oh, well, gee, thanks for letting me know, because that way I can make my, you know, flight reservations. Please join us in the celebration of friendships and Karen's 40th birthday in the scenic Costa Smeralda. Accommodations have been arranged at the Hotel Calais di Volpe Resort. We look forward to seeing you there. The fun begins the evening of June 10th. Buon viaggio e felice arrivio a presto, Karen and Dennis. The best present for my birthday is your company, so please, no gifts. He's going to jail on Thursday. He's going to jail. Now, do I resent a man living well? No, I do not. Would I have liked to have been at a party like that? Hell yeah. Would I want to be at that party? Hell no. Well, maybe as a reporter. And just ask questions like, hey, having fun? Yeah, it's great. What do you think about the guy that's throwing this bash? He's going to be screwed up the rear end like a freaking freight train in about 2 weeks. I don't even think of that. The music's going. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how'd you get in? I'm just a reporter. I'm Phil Henry, yeah? So what do you think of the party? It's a hell of a deal. Yeah, well, what do you think about jail rape? Man, some guys got all the balls in the world. And it doesn't stop at a guy like this. All these clowns, these guys over there at WorldCom, guy building a $15 million spread. Whatever happened to earning an honest buck? I mean, yeah, you can cut a little here and a cut a little there and maybe trim a little fat here and undercut the inspection there and, you know, cheat on your taxes. What, is anybody going to begrudge a man doing that? No, but Jesus. And I'm not just stopping there. Listen to this. Here are expenses that Dennis Kozlowski charged to Tyco for his $16.8 million company-paid co-op at 950 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. What's a co-op? It's an apartment that he shares with other people?
Other
and other executives. But these are the things that he charged to the place. This is a $16 million penthouse. Imagine, what is it? What do you figure? 5,000 square feet? I mean, it's got to be some kind of a spread. In Manhattan, it's going to be expensive. A shower curtain that he bought. What's the last time you bought a shower curtain? How much does a shower curtain cost you? Like, what, I don't know. 20 bucks. What do you think, Craig? $6,000. $6,000. He must have had somebody crap this shower curtain out of their rear end in China or something. I don't know what he did. He had, like, slaves from the Ukraine weave it with their teeth. He bought a dog umbrella stand for $15,000, a sewing basket for $6,300. At what point do you say, it must have been a solid gold shower curtain, just thinking back on a shower curtain. At what point do you say, honey, this is a lot of bread, you know, a 60. You know it's the wife, don't you? It's not him. The wife did it all. The wife. They can run up those expenses. Anyway, traveling toilet box, 17,000. I don't know what, a traveling toilet? I mean, he's carrying his own private crap box. You know we have toilets. No, no, that's fine. Eddie, bring mine in. Well, what the hell are you doing? No, it's fine. I only come with the best. I carry my own gold toilet. What the hell are you talking about? I mean, we've got perfectly good toilets. Nope. I will not sit my ass down on anything other than this, which I purchased in India at a bazaar in the Himalayas, Kathmandu. All right. A gilt metal wastebasket, $2,200. Coat hangers for $2,900. Everything solid gold is what we're trying to figure. It's all got to be solid gold. Two sets of sheets, solid gold. $5,960. A notebook for $1,650. I wonder if it's a Palm Pilot. I mean, I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. A computer deal, yeah. Mr. Kozlowski, I can tell you right now, they'll have a nice toilet for you at Sing Sing. You got to share it with six other guys, but a pincushion for $445. Other personal expenses that Kozlowski allegedly paid with company funds. Investment in the movie Endurance. He took $700,000 of company money and stuck it into a movie called Endurance. Anybody even see this? Chris is holding his nose. It must have stunk the joint out. Aircraft and car use, $449,000. The Sardinia birthday party we've already outlined for you. That was they say a million plus here. This thing came out to 2 million according to that memo that we read. Jewelry, 72 G's. Clothing, 72 G's. That's very conservative for jewelry. My hat's off to the guy. He didn't go hog wild on the jewelry. That's what? That's like two pieces. 155 grand for clothing, 96,000 for flowers, 60 G's for club membership dues, 52,000 for wine, and a purported corporate use of his yacht Endeavor, $110,000. And you know what? Going to Las Vegas will only cost you $348. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and all of that was just a prelude to me pitching my big trip to Las Vegas, and it's going to be on the 27th of September to the 29th. The Phil Henry Show is live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Now, get a load of this. For $348, you can come to a party with me, with my listeners, at the Ra Nightclub in the Luxor, Las Vegas. You'll have two nights for two people, Friday and Saturday night at the Luxor. You'll get a couple of passes to the Oasis Spa. You'll get two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You'll have the marvelous, beautiful, fantastic Las Vegas. There won't be any gladiators. There won't be anybody peeing out of the, you know, peeing into your drink, but you can't have everything. Free admission to the Ra Nightclub after the parties conclude. And, of course, the Blues and Brews party on Saturday night. And let's not forget how we kick the whole thing off. It'll be a live broadcast, 7 to 10, of the Phil Henry Show and a happy hour, which I can't really start partaking. So I'll be sober. All of you guys can party only after the show. May I then join with my listeners. Now, this is a package that's worth over $500, but for you and you only, $348. Now, in order to assure your place with me, the Luxor Las Vegas, because these packages are going every day, and we are down to the wire. We're down to the wire. The 27th is a week from Friday. That's how down to the wire we are. In order to assure your place, call right now, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Henry package. Additional nights at standard rack rates are available for purchase before or after the event. but you must be 21 years of age to book this package. This is a VIP party. There isn't going to be any tickets at the door. The only way to get in on one of these exclusive packages is to call 1-800-288-1000, and there are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now. Also, there's going to be a chance to win some very, very cool prizes on Saturday night, and there's going to be a prize for everybody who comes through the door as well, a little gift from me to you. So it'll be a very cool thing. We'll see you there in Vegas. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Back in just a moment.